Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. A special thank you, as always, to subscribers to the show. Without you, we cannot do it. We'd have to find other jobs. Who knows what we'd be doing, but we wouldn't be here. So if you'd like to become a subscriber, you can sign up for as little as $5 a month to support the show and our mission and our movement. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. And again, you can sign up for as little as $5 a month. Coming up on the show today, we're going to go through some of your frequently asked questions about the long-term care tax, which after a lengthy delay is going to be taking effect on July 1st. Yay to all of us. More money out of our paychecks and out of our pockets. Also, Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell is really trying hard to convince people that he's doing something to improve downtown. His office put out the weirdest propaganda-style video where it looked like a room full of hostages. I've got to play the thing for you. Later on, we're going to talk about the Chinese Communist Party and land purchases in the United States. How can you stop the Chinese government from buying up farmland, for example, in places like Washington? We'll hear from Congressman Dan Newhouse. And of course, we'll get to Florida Report with my sister Miranda. But let's start with a long-term care tax. It's an issue that you guys have been bugging me. Brandi, this is coming up. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about it. So there are some, I would say, frequently asked questions that I'm getting from all of you, but just a little bit of context here. So Washington State, in its infinite wisdom of how the government absolutely must take care of everyone else at the expense of other taxpayers, passed a long-term care program. And what it'll do is you pay into it. It comes out of your paycheck starting July 1st. And then if you need some sort of long-term care later in life, you can get up to like $34,500 in benefits. Now, it ran into some problems right away. There were exemptions that were absolutely necessary and common sense that weren't put into the law at the beginning. Like, what if you're someone who lives in Oregon, commutes into Washington State to earn a living, but you actually live in Oregon and you don't get any benefit from any of it? And then there were people who, what if they're really close to retirement, for instance? Are you going to really start taking money from their paycheck right now and then they're not fully invested? And then there's this whole question that remains to be seen about whether it's even financially solvent, whether you're going to have enough money going in to be able to fund the program long term. Because back when this was first passed, people were given a window of opportunity to opt themselves out, to say, I'm going to purchase private long-term care insurance. And then if I do that and the state accepts it and sends me a letter saying you're exempt, then I'm good. Well, so many people did that, that private companies actually stopped offering that benefit in Washington State because they were worried that people would get an exemption and then the program would start and then they just cancel their policies. And that was kind of a workaround, right? So anyway, let me address a few frequently asked questions that you have as the long-term care tax prepares to begin. So let's go. Frequently asked question number one, if I obtained an approved exemption in 2022, is it still valid? The answer is yes. If you went through the process, you got a letter from the state of Washington because you obtained private long-term care and you have that, it is still valid. You don't have to go about and do it again. Okay, what do we got? Number two, can I opt out later on? No. If you have not received an approved exemption before it starts on July 1st, there is not an, and you're working in Washington State right now, there's not an opportunity for you to opt out. You are stuck with this thing for life, unfortunately. Okay, what else we got? If I purchased a private plan early on, can I be refunded? Highly unlikely. So there is a lot of frustration from folks who purchased a policy, even though they didn't want one, but they had to purchase it to be able to opt out of the state plan. And a lot of those people thought, I'll purchase this policy. And then when the state program begins, I'm just going to cancel it. However, there was a huge delay in implementation of the program. So then they were stuck with this policy. They didn't even want, paying for it every month. And now finally the program's going to start. I'm sure a lot of them will cancel their private policies next month. But the question is, okay, if we bought that policy just so we could opt out, can we get refunded for all of that? I mean, technically, I guess that comes down to an agreement with the private company that you purchased it with, but I think the answer is probably no. Okay, we got one more here of frequently asked questions. Oh, this is an obvious one. How much is going to be taken out of my paycheck every 2 weeks or every month? So it's 58 cents per $100. So if you make $100,000 a year, this is going to cost you $580 a year. And I think most people will end up paying into it, you know, $250 to $500 a year, essentially. So that's a lot, especially when we've been talking about high gas prices and all the other competing interests for your money. For people who never wanted this, their paycheck is going to start to be garnished by the government for something that who knows if they'll ever need or benefit from. It's just government overreach, big government at its absolute worst. So one of the state lawmakers who was vehemently opposed to this program is Washington State Senator Curtis King. He's a Republican who represents the Yakima area. And I invited him in to talk a little bit about the program finally being implemented and what they might be doing to try to undo it. A lot of people, as you said, went out and they got a private long-term care plan that they didn't even want, right? But they're like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the opt-out letter from the state, and then I'm going to cancel that sucker, and then I'm just going to be exempt, which, why wouldn't you? That's what I would have done, right? Yep. But now they've been paying monthly for a long-term care plan for all this time that they never wanted in the first place. Yeah. Have you heard a lot of complaints from folks about that?
I have not heard complaints about that. Mm. What I've heard complaints about is we thought when they postponed it for a year that they were going to open it up and we could do it again.
Yeah.
You know, we could go out and get one. Of course, we tried to do this in a three-month period, and we just overwhelmed the insurance industry, as you know, and they just closed it down. Or there would have been 600,000 or 700,000 people exempt. But we're not going to. Government doesn't want to open it back up. I mean, I had an email from a gentleman who said, I moved into the state. I have a long-term care plan, which is much better than this WellCare's. But I can't opt out. I'm going to have to pay both, and I'm not paying both. So I'm gonna get rid of my really good one, and because I got to pay the one into the state, and it's not nearly the coverage. And it's just those kinds of things that are aggravating. It's like. Well, and high school kids or kids that are getting out of college and going to work, and now they don't have a choice. But 2 or 3 years ago, they had a choice. But why the cutoff? Why? Because they're trying to get every dime they can out of every citizen in the state of Washington that's working.
So, and I guess I didn't know that. So I remember the short little window of an opportunity to exempt, to ask for an exemption and get a plan. You're telling me that that's the only window for that will ever exist.
That's correct.
Even if somebody moves here from out of state, even if they just enter the job market, they will never have an opportunity.
That's correct.
That makes no sense.
Tell me about it. I mean, we're going to have individuals that come into the state, move into the state that have long-term care plans, already have them.
And been paying into them.
And paying into them. And they may have been paying into them for several years. And we're going to say to them, well, guess what? You get to pay into another one.
That's probably not as good, and the benefit isn't as good.
I can guarantee you it's not as good. The other part that has really aggravated me is Ben Vetti, who runs this wonderful show.
And that is?
He's the director of the long-term care program. WellCare's, whatever good name we want to give it. Mm-hmm. But he says, well, there isn't anything out there in the private sector that's as good as this. Well, let me tell you, I have a niece.
Yeah.
The niece used to work for Boeing. Boeing offered a long-term care plan, not through them, but through a company called Trustmark. And she makes over $100,000 a year. She pays $20 a month for her long-term care plan, which is substantially more than the $36,500. In addition to that, she has a death benefit, and she can take it wherever she goes, because guess what? She's not working for Boeing anymore. She's working for Lockheed, and she took it with her. And so, I mean, there are programs out there that make this look like the fallacy that it is. This thing does nothing.
Well, and the idea that there's anything the government offers that the private sector doesn't do better is just a joke to begin with.
Yeah. Well, just, I mean, when we get down to it and this thing is fully implemented, we got to come back and look at what are the yearly costs to administer this program by the government.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be, we've already spent $52 million and we haven't even got anything yet. And so the overhead to run this thing is going to be astronomical, and it's every year that this is going to come out of everybody paying in so that we can keep a few more government employees paid and on the payroll.
Yeah. So I want to talk about some of the problems that existed initially and see where those things are at right now.
Sure.
Have they been addressed? Have they not been addressed? So you talked about one of the glaring ones, which is If I live in Oregon or Idaho and live in Washington, and I got to pay every paycheck into this thing for a benefit I cannot get because I don't live in the state, that's absurd. So you guys were able to get those exemptions. However, true to government form, it is going to be very bureaucratic for those individuals, correct? Can you talk about that?
Well, every one of them individually has to send in the application to opt out of having to pay individually, and then do it every year.
Every year.
I mean, if the employer knows where you live, and if you live outside the state,
just don't take the money.
Just don't take the money. But no, can't do that. You know that few, if any, H-2A workers are going to be here long enough to be eligible for the benefit, but yet we're going to do it. I mean, the common sense of how do you run this program is just out the window. It's amazing what we're doing. And even ESD is starting to complain about the fact that they got to do this every year, and it's just ridiculous because it's not needed.
Yeah. So the other glaring issue that I remember up front, and I actually don't know if it ever got fixed, is if I want to retire somewhere.
Right.
Like if I want to go down to Arizona or Florida and leave this mess behind, then can I either get my money back or bring that benefit with me?
You walk away from it and you're done.
So like the government's trying to force people to retire here.
Yeah, well, guess what? The people I talk to, they're looking for a way out. That when they retire, they're moving.
Yeah.
You know, they're tired of this bureaucratic mess and all of the, anyway, we won't get onto that subject, but yeah, no, it's not portable.
That makes no sense.
And it needs to be.
There was another issue, and forgive me if I'm mischaracterizing it because it's been a while and I'm just remembering it, that had to do with folks who were close to retirement.
Right.
Where they'd pay in for a few years, but then they'd never be fully vested in the benefit, correct?
Right.
Was there ever a solution for them?
We came up with, I shouldn't say we, the solution was that if you were born before 1968, so 55. If you're 55 or older, for every year that you pay in, you get 10%.
No, okay.
Yeah, 10%. I'm correct. Yeah.
So you'll get a little bit
right.
of the benefit.
So the interesting part to that is ESD and DSHS are saying, well, you know, we're not going to have to pay anything out until 2026. So we don't, you know, we're not going to work on how do we do that? How do we handle all that? What are the roles? Well, it was pointed out to me today that if you're 55 and in January and you pay in for a year, so you're eligible for 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have something catastrophic happen to you, you can apply for that 10%.
Yeah.
Or if you're 55 and you work for 2 years, now you can apply for 20%. But that's well before 2026 when they think that's going to be when they first start paying out.
I see.
So they're going to have to pay out. The possibility is, maybe not lots, but they got to be ready to make some payments within a year, in our opinion.
And that kind of, I think, factors into, to me, what is the overarching question is it financially solvent?
Well, they're telling me that they expect to take in $900 million
a year. A year. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, is it going to be solvent? I don't know. When you take in that kind of money, it's hard not to be. But I think as soon as people figure out how to use the system, the best we can find out, there's no law, there's no reason why you can't be getting paid family and medical leave and also receiving the benefits from long-term care simultaneously.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you're going to have people, what I would say is double dipping, it's just amazing to me. The other thing that long-term care does is that it involves long-term disability. So if you're 30 years old, you go skiing and you break both your legs and you're going to be laid up and you can apply if you meet the criteria, you can apply and you can use up your 36.5. And then, but when you go back to work, you're going to be paying for the rest of your life and you have no benefit.
Right.
I mean, it's and I can remember I had two Democratic senators that are friends of mine that I work with when we're in session. Well, I work with them continually. Good people. And when they first, and this was last year, when Ben first announced that this could be used for long-term disability, they went, what? They didn't know it. Yeah. None of us knew it. It was about long-term care, that when you retired and you got into your 70s or 80s or whatever, and you needed that, it was there for you.
Right.
But even at that, 36.5, so I have a friend that owns two adult daycare, adult care centers, adult care homes, I guess. And I asked him on Wednesday at Rotary, I said, not going to give your name out or anything, but in Yakima, Washington, what do you charge a month to be in your home? $9,000.
Wow.
That's Yakima. You can imagine what it is in Seattle or Tacoma, because it's going to be more. He does a very good job. I mean, he really does. But $9,000.
4 months.
4 months. It's a real mess, just all the way around, in my opinion.
Is there any way to unring this bell?
Well, I don't think the legislature will do it. I wish they would. I think it's going to take an initiative of the citizens to get out there. And this is what I'm waiting. I'm anxious to see by the 7th, 14th, or 15th of July, when these individuals get their first paycheck and this is taken out of their check. It's like, oh, so what's the reaction going to be?
Yeah.
I didn't authorize this. What is this for? I don't want that.
Well, the government would tell them, well, you know, we're doing something for you that's going to benefit you 40 years down the road.
Yeah, right.
We're saving for you.
Unless you want to go live with your grandkids in Nebraska or something.
Yeah.
You know, then you can just be thankful you helped somebody else out.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the fallacy. This is a program that nobody asked for. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody wants it. I can guarantee you. Nobody
very
wants
few.
It. Yeah, very few wants it. Oh, SEIU might want it.
Yes.
You know, and yet government is saying, oh, we know what's best. We know how to take care of you. I mean, and this is what they did. They basically crammed it down our throats. And they've done everything, in my opinion, they've done everything they can to try and minimize the number of people that were able to opt out.
Oh, 100%, no
yeah.
doubt in my mind.
I mean, they've worked that to the nth degree. And I don't think, you know, I don't think there's ever going to be a time when you have an opportunity. And you should have an opportunity. The idea is you want people to have long-term care. And so why would you force people to have to pay for this minuscule program when you could go out and get a good long-term care plan that works and that will be a benefit and not be able to opt out of paying the government?
So if you have any other questions on the long-term care tax, I'm sure we'll be talking about it more in the coming days. Always happy to try to get answers to you, even if I don't know them myself. So just reach out to us, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. All right, we've been talking about our friend Wes Jones with sellwithwes.com, longtime real estate agent in this area. He and his team have an awesome concierge service where if you want to sell your home, let's say you've been living in it for a long time and you just know that it needs some upgrades, it needs some fixes before you can put it on the market. Well, Wes Jones and his team can help you with that. He talked about what the boosting service entails.
So we're going to come in, number one, and we're going to inspect a home, do a pre-inspection. We're going to find out all those little hidden bugs that, you know, a buyer may be concerned with. And if a seller wants to do some cosmetic updates, you know, whether it's flooring, whether it's lighting, countertops, even a kitchen, we're going to help guide them through that. So the Listing Boost Concierge Service, what we can do is we can project manage those rehab projects. We have a list of contractors and preferred vendors that we like to work with and have a ton of experience with, and we'll take that off a seller's hands. We'll go ahead and run that project for them, and we even have some options where they can pay at closing out of their net proceeds.
Yeah, and that's a nice service. Not all real estate agents offer that, to be able to help you out a little bit out up front. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Pay them a visit. A better way to sell your home. All right, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Boop, in the many years I've been a reporter in Seattle, I've seen many a mayor try to reactivate downtown, Westlake Park, Pioneer Square, issues where every once in a while the ebb and flow of the drug trade gets really, really bad. Of course, a lot of downtown, the drug trade is really, really bad. Crime, disorder, empty storefronts. So, of course, Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell is trying to reactivate downtown for the umpteenth time. And he announced the 7 steps of his downtown activation plan. He got protested. Now I'm glad that I got protested. Bruce Harrell got protested. He got protested by the Stop the Sweeps crowd, the people who don't want him sweeping homeless encampments. So I gotta say, it was a little entertaining to watch him try to do a press conference with people shouting in the background. But let's listen in.
Basically, in our downtown activation plan, it's about activation. It's about rejuvenation. And there are 7 pillars by which our framework will be framed around.
Is it all Kamala Harris-esque? Oh, wait, can I not compare them because they're both black? Oh, I did that once before and I got in trouble. But I love these, like, our activation plan is about activating downtown. Oh, you don't say? Anyway, okay, let's carry on and we'll listen to his pillars of his program.
First of all, we want to make downtown safe and welcoming for everybody. Safe and welcoming, number one. Number two, we want to transform our downtown into a lively neighborhood where more people can afford to live. We know about the housing affordability issue. Third, we want to create a unique downtown retail experience. There's some things you can't get on a computer. There's some things you can't get through e-commerce. What is that? That retail experience. We have a lot of small business owners here, a lot of entrepreneurs. What is that experience? We want to capture that. Just that this becomes a destination for everyone to come to experience that retail experience. Number four, we want to make downtown a safe place where people want to work. I got to emphasize that point. Want to work. They want to be here. That will reflect the future of our economy. That is critically important to our success as a city. Next, we want to celebrate our arts, culture, sports, and entertainment. I have some athletes in back of me. We have some artists here. We have people that understand the world of entertainment. See, I know a lot of you are distracted by that. All it sounds to me is music to my ears. Because that's activation.
Don't clap for that. That's not the kind of activation Seattle needs. Like, look, I love a peaceful protest, but I'm sorry, don't encourage the Antifa types to come protest and call that activation, because we've seen what their version of protest can look like, and that's part of the reason you have so many boarded up storefronts downtown. So what was that? We've got his activation plan about activating, the framework to reframe,
yep,
the experience of for a retail experience.
Retail experience.
Yes, a lot of... A lot of repetition there. Look, it's another just nonsense thing. I mean, sure, he's got a plan, like, fine. You know, we're going to hear on Sundays with Subscribers this week from John Scholes, the president of the Downtown Seattle Association. Hopefully that's a conversation that's a little more grounded in reality and all these big, bold promises. I mean, he put out his press release on this plan and had the word bold in it. Whenever I see the word bold, I just write it off. until something actually happens, all of it is just talk, talk, talk. But anyway, I had to play this next video because I saw it come across the mayor's Twitter account. And it just screamed propaganda to me. It's this city-produced video where the mayor's like calling a bunch of city folks and council members into his office. And it's just like somebody following him around, videotaping him talking to this group and waxing poetic about the city, about how great things are. It was like propaganda, but it also looked like a North Korean hostage video where like the Kim Jong-un has all his advisors around him and they're all nodding and clapping like, oh, yes, yes, you're doing everything great. That's exactly what it reminded me of. So let me just play the whole thing for you.
He's always been a community member that showed his ability to bring people into space together for one common cause, right? And he's been able to do that on all levels. Yeah, I mean, this is just his niche. He's doing what he does, right? And it's good. It's great.
We are recording. I have your consent, right? just because this is like our pregame chat on what we're going to do. We're really going to redefine some things today, and all of you are part of it. Your leadership will be part of it.
Those channels of communication are coming together, developing. I think that's just extremely important, so that's why it's great that we're here today.
Everywhere I go in this city, people are saying, the city's coming back. We feel good about what we're doing. And you guys are on the right trajectory. Everywhere I go. Can anyone confirm that?
Yeah. So is Councilman Dan Strauss, he's
so,
like, oh,
so
yeah.
So I may ask that question out there. I want to make sure. That was a trial run. Lord have mercy.
Those people that realize when you have a North Star, which is our One Seattle model, just because there's dissension and there's conflict, that doesn't mean you lose your North Star. In fact, you double down on it.
In tough times, controversial times, times where it seems like we go through turmoil, that's where the magic happens, where we hold hands and pull ourselves together and get through it together. That's what we'll do. We have
this is so
everyone in the ecosystem here, the city ecosystem, community leaders, treatment-based folks, elected leaders, strong leadership all around us. Let's pull together, and we were going to work in the next coming weeks on an ordinance that will pass. It will center our values.
Here we go.
The North Star, you point to it and you keep driving to it. I believe in the model because the model works.
It was the most awkward thing I've ever seen a politician put out on their social media. It was like either a campaign video, a propaganda video, or both. And then all of those council members and everybody looked like they were in their hostage, where he's like, I've been hearing everywhere that things are better downtown. And then he looks around, right, you too? Councilman Dan Strauss, and they're like, yeah, mayor, I have too. Super weird. I don't know who he's trying to convince. How about you fix things? And then you have a little video in your office of everybody celebrating. Weird stuff. Unbelievable. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Chinese Communist Party and concern over land purchases in the United States and in states like Washington. But first, I've been talking about our friends over at First Mark Insurance. Mike and I are members of the First Mark family. I've been preaching this to everyone. Take the First Mark Challenge. Thousands of people have done it. It costs you nothing, and it could save you thousands of dollars a year. So while you're trying to figure out, how am I going to deal with the money they're taking out of my paycheck now for long-term care? How am I going to deal with the increased cost of gasoline? Take the First Mark Challenge and see if Dave Taylor and his team can save you money on insurance. Mike and I found out we were really underinsured, and that might freak you out and say, well, now I got to pay more for insurance. No, we got better insurance for the same price.
So the risk is, if you get an auto accident and you don't have enough coverage, you get an auto accident that's your fault, and you don't have enough coverage, then they can come after you personally for any additional amounts over and above your coverage limit. And that means things like your retirement plan, or come after your equity in your home, or garnish your wages. So it's a big thing. And like with you and Mike, I just think most people haven't had someone take the time to explain it to them in terms they can understand, and show them the how inexpensive it is to actually get the correct coverage.
Yeah, we absolutely loved working with them. It was a really eye-opening experience. And again, it didn't cost us anything, and we have much better insurance. So you work hard for what you have. Make sure it's properly protected. Take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. They work for you. As you guys know, we were out in Eastern Washington on Tuesday, and we did a sit-down interview with Congressman Dan Newhouse, Republican congressman for Washington, while we were out there. And one of the issues we talked about, which is an interesting issue for me, because I'll be frank, it's not one that I know a lot about, and so that's why I was eager to talk to him about it, is these ongoing concerns. And we've heard about it on Florida Report. We've talked about it a little bit with Ron DeSantis and what he's trying to do in Florida, but ongoing concerns about entities with ties to the Chinese Communist Party making land acquisitions in places like Washington, agricultural land. And what are they trying to do? What do they want that land for? Is it for nefarious purposes? So it's an issue Congressman Dan Newhouse is really clued in on and is really worried about. So I want to take some time to talk to him about it.
So this is an issue that I first got involved with it about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I did is because we started seeing a trend. And not just in the United States, but other countries as well, that Chinese are very aggressive about the issue of controlling resources, whether they're natural resources, whether infrastructure, whether production, agriculture in other countries, because they've got a huge population and they don't have the ability to feed themselves. They've got to go outside. So I get that. But seeing this huge influx of acquisition of assets in other countries, we started looking here within our own shores. And you know what we found out? Over the last decade, the purchases by China in the United States has gone up by a factor of 10. Mm. Granted, it's not a huge number at this point. I think 380-some thousand acres throughout the country. But that trajectory that we're on and what we've seen in other countries made me stop and think we should do something before we wake up in 10, 20 years and think, oh my gosh, we should have done something.
China's got all our farmland.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you know, does that, why is that a big issue? Well, as you know, our relationship with China is an interesting one. The two largest economies in the world. I would not describe China as being our ally. In fact, they're more an adversary. If we allow them to gain a foothold in a very important industry, one that I think national security and food security go together, if they have any control on any part of that supply chain, that puts us in a very, very precarious position. If in fact some, you know, tensions rise and there's some conflict between our countries, they could turn off that spigot of a very important supply of food to our nation. And where do we find ourselves then? So we've got to get a handle on this. We've got to be smart and strategic. And you know what I found out, which is a little concerning? We don't have a good system in place in this country to, we do our best to track this, but to stop it. So we're trying to give federal agencies the tools and the resources they need to be able to do this and have that conversation with them on how we can accomplish it. So it's taken time, but the good thing is, Brandy, I've seen over the last 2.5 years, many other members of Congress, members of the Senate, other states, even the state of Washington, are waking up to the fact that this is a threat.
Yeah, it should be. It's bipartisan, right? To say this absolutely is very concerning.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the few criticisms, if I could just go that
sure
way,
yeah, I'm here
is that, oh, well, you're focusing on Chinese individuals. You're going to increase xenophobia throughout the country. Nothing could be further from the truth. This is a national security issue. We're focused on the Communist Chinese Party and not individual Chinese Americans. And so that's a very hard distinction that we have to make, and sometimes difficult one for sure. But that's the focus that we have.
I mean, can't the U.S. government just say, absolutely not, if you have ties to the Chinese Communist Party, you can't buy any property in the United States or farmland, and if you have it, we're going to take it from you? Is that too far?
Well, that's what that seems easy enough,
right?
To do that, make that statement, but there are a lot of it's complicated. There's investments in companies sometimes get very hard to determine who's who and and what are the origins. There's a lot of I guess you could say levels of ownership in big companies. And so sometimes it's not as easy as you think. And like I said, there's not a good system of reporting. You know, if there's the assessor's office in Yakima County, gets paperwork, there's some kind of land deal going on, how does that get reported to the USDA or the Department of Treasury? There's no system to do that. So we're trying to put together, like I said, give these agencies the resources, the tools, come up with the system to put into place to prevent this.
So I thought that was a fascinating conversation. And again, an issue I'm just learning a lot about, but I really think it's worth paying attention to, being aware of, and having a conversation about how do we deal with that issue in a way that isn't, people aren't like, that's racist against Asians, but really is focused on entities related to the Chinese Communist Party. By the way, coming up on Sunday, I'm going to have another clip from our interview with Congressman Newhouse on an issue I'm sure he was thrilled to talk about, but I'm sure you're curious about. You know, he was one of only a few Republicans in Congress who voted to impeach former President Donald Trump, and he was only one of two who kept their jobs after that. He was reelected when most people, Republicans who voted to impeach Trump, were not. And so coming up on the Sunday show, we're going to discuss that and have a frank conversation about it. So if you'd like to watch that show, sign up, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. We always have great in-depth interviews on the Sunday show where you can sit back, relax, and learn something new. So we'll have another clip from him on that episode. All right, let's get to, outside of Washington State for a moment. It is our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, good day, mate.
Good day.
We always see the stories here of new laws going into effect July 1st, and usually our new laws are dumb. But you guys have some new ones, too. Any good ones?
Yeah, there's a couple good ones. Well, there's ones we've been talking about and covering on the show, like the constitutional carry is going to go into effect. Some of the gender bathroom ones we've spoken about are going to go into effect. But there's also a couple interesting ones. One of them, SB 214, basically prevents credit card companies from labeling gun and ammunition purchases underneath a separate, a separate product code or buyer code. And I thought that was interesting to go at the same time as, you know, constitutional carry. I'm assuming a lot more people are going to be like owning and carrying firearms, which, I mean, in my opinion, should only maybe increase firearm issues in the upcoming months and year. So it's funny that they decided to do that. I mean, that's obviously like an attempt to make it so you can't like track firearm purchases.
Right, you can't track it. And then if the government one day decides, hey, we want to take those away, they go and subpoena the credit card companies and they're like, who bought a gun? So do I think that's going to happen in our lifetimes? Who knows?
Full perspective. And another one I liked was basically another law requiring schools to carry feminine hygiene products in the ladies' rooms. And oh man, that's something that did not happen when we were kids.
Yeah, you just, you know, were bleeding out and didn't know what to do. Nicole looked at me like, don't say that.
Pretty Nicole, awful. You'd wind adults up in the lost and found section pretty quick.
People don't know the hell. Does the law require that they be put in the male's bathroom too?
In Florida, I don't think we've gotten to that conversation yet. But for now, we're going to start with the girls' restrooms, and I think that that's a great place to start with that. There's a bunch of other interesting ones that go into combating human trafficking and stuff like that, and some that I'm reading, and I'm like, these just seem like they should already be a law. But, you know, there's over 200, so Florida's changing fairly drastically this weekend.
I think there should be a limit to the number of laws that a legislature can pass during the session. Like, it gets into the hundreds, and I'm like, we already have so many. Do you need to pass more? I bet all our mayoral viewers and listeners are very excited about the period talk today on Undivided.
Well, if they have daughters and wives, they should be excited about that because it definitely is something that will make their lives a little easier.
True. Okay, there is this crazy story about an quote-unquote intruder who wasn't actually an intruder who was shot by a homeowner in Florida. Wild.
Yeah, super wild. A man, and this is just after 9 p.m. in the evening, his wife saw somebody in their backyard, told her husband. Her husband went out there, you know, shouted at the person. The person apparently did not respond verbally, but did start walking towards them. So it caused this Florida gun owner and homeowner to protect and stand his ground. And he fired off 30 rounds at his pool keeper. It was the guy that cleaned his pool. And I guess he was just running late on his rounds that day. And he ended up at their house super late without letting them know. And this guy's not going to be charged with shooting at this guy. You know, one of the sheriffs had made a statement like, it's lawful, but awful.
Yeah. So that's a really good way to put it. I mean, if you're going to be there, and I imagine 9 p.m. right now in Florida, it's still like maybe a little light out, but not really.
Yeah, it's like it's that kind of shadowy hour where, you know, if somebody's in your yard and you probably can't make them out very well. But either way, I mean, it's kind of a good lesson for everybody because the guy did not get directly hit by a bullet, which is so surprising to me. He did get some bullet shrapnel injuries. But like, if you're going to own a gun, please learn to shoot, man. Take some lessons, target practice, 30 rounds in a residential neighborhood, just blasting off at some random person in your yard is just not how you stand your ground, in my opinion. But
I tend to agree. Oh, I don't know the whole circumstances, but I think I could have probably hit him once. I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah. And even on the other end of the spectrum, you know, being the pool keeper just doing his job, you know, communicate with your clients. If you're going to wind up in somebody else's yard, make sure the homeowner knows you're going to be there. I photograph residential real estate, and I promise you, if the homeowner doesn't know I'm coming, I am not going. Period. And that's not even a safety thing. That's just courtesy. So like, You know, like do yourself a favor. And if somebody is like asking for who you are, maybe just respond.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't know why he didn't respond, if he didn't hear or whatever, but it's like when the Orkin man comes to our house, they send us a text and they knock on the front door and they let us know like, hey, we're going to be in your backyard, all around your house. And I always appreciate that because, you know, I don't want to be surprised by someone. Really quick, we can't, you know, have a week without DeSantis. He was down at the border. He spent a lot of time down there and he's now put out his plan. And it turns out it's kind of similar to Trump's plans on the southern border.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. And honestly, I don't expect it to diverge too much from his plan because it's pretty, you know, in line with what would probably work and also, you know, party values and what the party's kind of looking to do. But it would basically end birthright citizenship. It would send some U.S. forces down south of the border to combat the drug cartels and maybe slow them down from crossing over our border and completing the wall, amongst a whole bunch of other things. But it is pretty similar.
Is he saying that Mexico is going to pay for the wall?
You know, I haven't read anything about who he thinks is going to pay for the wall. He's a pretty reasonable guy. So I think that he's going to, if he ends up president and wants the wall built, he's going to find a way to build it, whether it's Mexico and the taxpayers of the United States. I don't know. But
yeah, Mexico's not paying for the wall. I think DeSantis knows that. Okay, Miranda, well, we sure do appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
I've been talking about the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic plan. It's summer. I'm feeling great. Ready to hit the beach. Ready to hit the barbecue. Ready to boat. Whatever. Take pictures. Hang out with friends. I'm down 36 pounds on the program. I feel great. I started Eastside Weight Loss Clinic in November. Lost most of that weight in just 2 months. And a lot of you have noticed I was at the meet and greet over in Eastern Washington this past week on Tuesday, and I got so many compliments from people saying, oh my gosh, you look great. Individuals I'd seen at events previously. Look, Eastside Weight Loss Clinic, it's not magic. Like, you do have to eat better, but it's structured in a way that I think is really easy to follow and teaches you better eating habits in the long run. There's no prepackaged meals, no counting calories, no strenuous workout routine. So do what I've done and so many others have done. Just be feeling better, looking better, more energy in just a short period of time. So EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, schedule a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan. It is that easy. Okay, we mentioned this yesterday, but this show is not actually live today. Ooh, I'm coming to you from the sky on an airplane. Ooh, I have a family reunion in Minnesota. We left super early, and so we pre-taped beforehand. And so I'm not gonna fake read comments because there's no live comments.
There's no
the
comments,
show.
But I do have something for you. Because by the time we come back on Monday.
Yeah.
It's your birthday.
You have something for me on my birthday?
I do.
What is it?
Are you ready?
Oh my God, you're so sneaky.
I am. Whoops. Okay.
Oh my God. When did you do that?
I don't know.
Wait, are you going to sing happy birthday to me?
Hold on. I'm prepared for this.
Jingle bells.
Oops.
That's jingle bells. You have to sing.
Look at this cool candle that has a blue flame.
Oh my God. That's not creepy. damn snort.
Happy birthday, dear Brandy.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
No? Anyway. I don't know where you found that happy birthday.
I don't know. That's pretty bad.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm going to be 35. So officially old enough to be the president.
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo.
Oh.
Thank you. I didn't know when did you do all that?
See,
we're so good at sneaking things because we're both so... Anyway.
I got it ready while you went and got some food and then I grabbed the lighter when you weren't looking.
You mean when I went and got a salad and some lean protein and then just did a commercial for Eastside Weight Loss Clinic.
Do you know what these are?
No.
These are, oh yeah. Well, I mean, you're allowed a little treat here and there, especially when it's your birthday.
I'm on maintenance. I can totally.
What's your favorite dessert?
Yeah, are they carrot cake something?
Yeah, they're carrot cake.
Oh my gosh, this is the best day.
How perfect is that?
Thanks, anyway, Nicole.
You're welcome.
That makes turning 35 even better. All right, instead of reading comments, we'll just wish you a wonderful holiday weekend. Be safe. Remember, if you're going to go to Idaho, follow the law or you're going to end up on probation.
But we will see you on Monday.
Probation. Yeah, well, we will have Sundays with subscribers on Sunday. We're going to hear from Law Talk about that in just a second after sanity check. But so we'll see you Sunday, and then we'll see you Monday.
Yeah.
But, you know, most people celebrate 4th of July weekend over the weekend. So, okay. All right, let's get to our closing sanity check quickly, shall we? Go ahead. So I don't know what's going on with the mainstream media, but they've all of a sudden started to care about Hunter Biden and what Joe Biden did or did not know about his son's overseas business dealings. And I think it's part of some long-term strategy because they know he can't win to replace him with Gavin Newsom, but, you know, probably a conspiracy. Maybe not, though. Anyway, I find it interesting and very telling how President Biden has started to react. And we played last week on the show Karine Jean-Pierre and her very aggressive, you know, rejection of questions about Biden and Hunter in the White House briefing room. I want you to listen to just how angry President Joe Biden got at reporters in a press gaggle on the White House lawn asking him questions about Hunter Biden and what he knew or didn't know.
President Biden, how involved were you in your son's Chinese shakedown text message? Were you sitting there? Were you involved?
No.
That anger is telling. That anger is a man on the defensive. And that anger is also a man who is not used to being asked hard questions like that, who's not used to this media ecosystem pressing him like that. Now, I don't know what has prompted this sudden bout of sanity from the mainstream media and the corporate media. I don't know if there's something nefarious at play. I'm glad they're doing it, though. I'm glad that they pressed Karine Jean-Pierre and didn't let her off the hook in the White House briefing room. I am glad that they pressed President Joe Biden to the point where he was screaming no at them. This is what the media is supposed to do. This is sane. This is what you need to do to restore sanity to our country. And I was very happy to see it. All right, that has been it for today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Don't forget, for subscribers, we will have a regular episode of Sundays with Subscribers. We'll hear from John Scholes, president of the Downtown Seattle Association, about the upcoming MLB All-Star Game. I'll also have a portion of my interview with Congressman Dan Newhouse about his impeachment vote and fast-forwarding a couple years since that time and how it's impacted or not impacted his political career. So I thought it was a really interesting part of the chat that we have. So if you're not a subscriber already, please become one, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. You can sign up for as little as $5 a month. So subscribers, I'll see you on Sunday. The rest of you, I'll see you Monday on the live show. Have a fantastic, safe, wonderful weekend.